hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Mr. Holmes?
It is a beautifully shot, excellently directed and acted movie that I don't want to see again.
Okay, fair. before we get into it, welcome to You Want Me to Watch What? Where Chad and I, Chad and I recommend movies to each other that the other hasn't seen. This week's bi-monthly selection is the 2015 mystery film Mr. Holmes, starring Ian McKellen as a 93-year-old Sherlock Holmes, a retired Sherlock Holmes. It also stars Laura Linney as his maid, housekeeper. So the movie actually takes place over three time periods, two of which are flashbacks. The bulk of the movie is set in the present. Well, present for the movie, 1947. Sherlock Holmes is 93 years old and has long since retired from the detective business. He's not even living in London anymore. He's out in the countryside at a farmhouse, and he's raising bees. And he lives there with his widowed housekeeper, Mrs. Monroe, and her young son, Roger. Holmes is very stern and staunch and very set in his ways. Mrs. Monroe is trying her best. Roger is a very bright and precocious young lad who wants to know everything about everything and kind of looks up to Holmes a little bit, but Holmes at the start of the movie has no real care about such things. So Holmes has just gotten back from a trip to Japan, and he's being examined by the doctor. And we come to find out that something's wrong with Holmes. He went to Japan to help find, not necessarily a cure, but something to aid in his lifestyle. Something that would work in addition to the medication. Come to find out he is experiencing the early stages of dementia. I was going to say early onset dementia, but he's 93. The early stages of dementia, which for Sherlock Holmes, who his mind is his everything, that is a very disconcerting place to be. So I'm going to cover the first set of flashbacks, which is his trip to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to intersperse the present, and then I'm going to kind of go over the far back flashback set 30 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
So in his most recent trip to Japan, the most recent flashback, he was looking for the prickly ash. Basically a plant that is growing in the ashen remains of Hiroshima. It's a plant that is growing out of devastation because it has supposedly curative properties and helps with memory and stuff like that. While he's there, he is assisted by a Mr. Yumazaki. Writing letters to Sherlock Holmes to try and entice him to come to Japan, and he finally took it up and went there to look for this. Yumazaki had an ulterior motive because when Yumazaki was younger, he received a letter from his father saying, I'm not coming back to Japan. He'd been overseas in Europe, in England. I'm not coming back to Japan upon the advice of a very smart man, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. please read the book enclosed. And it was a study in scarlet to show that this man is very, very smart. So Mr. Yumazaki's entire childhood and adult life was spent under the notion that Sherlock Holmes somehow convinced his father not to go back home to him and his mother. By the end of it, it is revealed that Holmes didn't know him. Mr. Umazaki's father created that story to spare him his own cowardice of returning home and being a husband and a father, effectively. In the present, as we're going through, Holmes is trying to deal with his dementia, trying to combat it with certain things. He has health issues. He falls. He passes out. The housekeeper is, Mrs. Monroe, is kind of charged with more taking care of him. All the while, she doesn't really like working for Holmes because of his attitude and stuff like that. She's found a better job in a town as a maid for a hotel. And she wants to take Roger there and kind of get him into that line of work. But Roger doesn't want to do it. He wants to be his own person. He wants to explore. He is shown very intelligent, and more so than his mother. And they even kind of talk about his father, who was killed in the war, how he was a down-to-earth guy, worked in the motor pool, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to fight. So he learned how to fly, and on his first outing, he was shot down and killed, and everybody else in the motor pool survived. So Roger doesn't remember his father at all. And his mother is absolutely trying her best. Over the course of this movie, Holmes is trying to put together the pieces of his last case. He cannot remember the details of it. He knows it happened. He knows who the players were, but he can't remember what the outcome was and why it made him stop. He was asked by a young man to follow his wife, Anne, because she was acting strange. She'd recently had a miscarriage of some twins, and she had been talking to the twins and whatever, and he was very concerned. So Holmes follows her and confronts her and basically comes to the conclusion that She knew she was being followed. She knew Holmes was following her because she found a business card of Holmes in her husband's wardrobe. She is no dummy. Anne is no dummy. So she puts on this elaborate array so Holmes follows her around, and it looks like she's going to have her husband killed. She buys poison. She pays off a man. It's very, you know, very presentable to the situation. Set 30 years prior to now, Holmes is still in his prime and understands that this is all show. She's not going to kill her husband. She was going to kill herself. Her husband refused to put up gravestones for the children, and she had had enough. She wanted some sort of escape or release, and death was the only thing she could think of. Holmes talks her out of it. She even asks Holmes, "Why don't you come with me and we can both live together alone?" He, very flattered, refuses, and she ends up killing herself anyway. And it was that prompted Holmes to realize that while he is a very smart man, he knows very little about the human condition, so to speak, because he couldn't wrap his head around why somebody would still do that. And it took a lot of time for him to get over that. Back in the present, Holmes has taken a shine to Roger, and they've started working on the bees together. The bees in the colony have started dying. And during one instance where Holmes is kind of incapacitated due to illness, Roger discovers that it's a nearby wasp's nest that is killing the bees. He goes to drown the nest, but that just angers them, and they attack and sting him. He's allergic to wasps. And he's rushed to the hospital. It doesn't look like he's going to make it, but he does pull through. Mrs. Monroe and Holmes have a kind of a, for lack of a better term, come to Jesus moment. She's very upset at him and the bees, and her only son is going to die. Holmes finally explains, no, it was the wasps, and he cares very much about Roger, finally showing some emotion for the first time to this woman. They destroy the wasps. Roger pulls through, and Holmes reveals that he is leaving the house and everything of his to Mrs. Monroe and Roger. So it would be very rude if you left me now, for lack of a better term. And the movie ends with Holmes taking steps to help remember parts of his life while Roger and his mother tend to the bees. What I like most about this movie is Ian McKellen's portrayal of Holmes, because when you're jumping back and forth between 30 years prior, like 1917 and 1947, McKellen's portrayal of an aged Holmes is drastically different from a Holmes in his 70s, 60s or 70s. When we're in the past, he stands up straight. He's very with it and walks with a purpose and does things with a clear, definitive sense of this is what is happening. Fast forward 30 years and he is feeble. He is slow. I don't know if they aged him up with makeup or de-aged him with makeup. No CGI involved. No de-aging via the Avengers or anything like that. But the steps they took to clearly mark 30 years has passed and this man is suffering both physically and mentally, they did a great job showing that.
Ian McKellen knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely.
There's no denying that.
No.
Absolutely no denying that. And really, I don't think there was a bad actor in this.
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, everybody did their parts very well.
Yeah, because even the kid who played Roger, which I've only ever seen otherwise in Ms. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, I mean, just really absolutely believable in his role.
Yeah.
You know, as the
kid by the name of Milo Parker.
Yeah. As this intelligent and knows he's intelligent, which makes him sometimes unduly arrogant.
Yes.
And really good scenes in all of that. I don't have a fault with the movie outside of it just being really a gut punch of a movie.
Yeah, it is absolutely agreed. By the end of the movie, it is very bittersweet because you know Holmes, this isn't the start of Holmes' career. He probably only has a handful of years left, if that. And probably even less of those, he's going to be have enough faculties about him to be Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a very bittersweet ending.
At least it's more hopeful than what I thought they were going to My Girl the Kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
no.
I thought we were going to get kind of the reveal of Holmes's quote-unquote failure on the last case just in time for Roger to also die and that be Holmes's last case is figuring out what killed Roger instead. Like,
no, I would not have recommended that if that were the case, because I would have chucked my copy out the window. but it is very sad, especially if you've dealt with people with dementia. There is one really good scene where Holmes is dreaming, where it kind of shows what might be going on in his mind during such things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this movie is really good, except it is kind of a gut punch, like you said. So, but enough of me talking. Let's hear kind of your take on it.
So, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I knew it was toward the end of his career, and I knew that it supposedly dealt with Holmes's suffering with memory problems.
Yeah.
Which, before I even started watching it, put me in the mood to really not like the movie. Because Holmes's memory and his ability to observe and process all that is his defining characteristic. That's the point.
Yeah.
And so mucking about with that already had me defensive in getting into it. And they do it very well, where it is, he's not in late stages. He is mostly there. It's the details of certain names, events, things like that. So, and I like the way that he dealt with his quote unquote failure. You know, he neglected the human element. He'd always dealt with facts. Well, when you're dealing with a murder after the facts are all that matter. There's no one left to save.
Yeah.
There's only someone to help hold accountable. Not taking the human factor into account before the fact. You know, I thought that was a really well done way of showing how that would affect him.
Yeah. And if one thing you need to remember about the Sherlock Holmes stories is Watson is kind of the human element analog.
Right.
Dr. Watson, a very intelligent person in his own right, is very human compared to Holmes's very staunch black and white. These are the facts. These aren't the facts. This takes place. This particular mystery takes place after Watson has married and left. So it's just Sherlock.
And that was another thing that I really enjoyed was watching Holmes react to the fictionalized version of himself.
Yes.
Not just in the theater. That was interesting enough and watching, but the way everyone responded to Sherlock, thinking that the real Sherlock Holmes was going to be like the book Sherlock Holmes or like the movie Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed watching that and seeing the looks of expectation and then disappointment in a lot of the people around him, their face, but also seeing Holmes almost take a kind of perverse pleasure in their disappointment.
Yeah.
And a lesser actor than Ian McKellen probably couldn't have pulled it off.
No.
You know, because it's a very tiny facial tick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could only be done in the movies and only by somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Yes.
I liked the way that they developed the relationship between Roger and Holmes. You know, because it starts out just kind of almost distant and then realizing, like, I'm not going to be able to take care of the bees forever. Somebody's got to take care of the bees. There's a small child.
Well, it also shows, it also kind of develops as Holmes realizes just how smart Roger is, because he starts quizzing him about certain things and starts to develop an appreciation and an admiration for Roger.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes he's found kind of a kindred spirit in Roger in terms of looking for clues and connecting the dots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You get a sense that with proper education and experience, Roger becomes a consulting detective some point in his future.
Yeah. And there's kind of one throwaway scene where Holmes asked him, so what books do you like to read besides, you know, books on beekeeping and whatever? He's like, well, those are the only books I've ever read. Well, I have a whole library in the house. Take whatever you want.
You can take anything out that you would like.
Yeah. It's just, and that's about halfway through when they start really developing this relationship. Because mm-hmm. you get the sense that before he was kind of tolerating Roger, Roger was just there because his mother worked there. But after this most recent trip, when he realizes things are not going to be the way he wants them to, it's not so much, oh, there's a young person here who can take care of the bees. It's this young person is more than just a small child.
Well, and this young person gets it.
Yes. He's finally learning the human element of things and putting that into practice in his own life, finally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Holmes is shown to be kind of lucky in that Watson was able to humanize him so well.
Yes. And the kindness that he did, if for nothing else, yes.
And I liked the. I'm assuming that it was Watson that was the doctor throughout this. They never name him. You know, the one that examines Holmes.
No, it wasn't Watson. It was, I don't think so. I think it was somebody else because they even said in the movie that after the events of the final case, Holmes was so despondent that Watson came back, took care of him for a few months, went away, but even he had passed away.
Okay.
So the doctor taking care of Holmes was a doctor, but just not
a
Watson.
Doctor.
Yes.
Well, that's a little bit too
but
bad.
But I do like that idea.
You know, that it was Watson. Yeah, Dr. Barry.
Yeah. And also he was much younger looking than Watson would have been.
Mm-hmm.
By no means a young doctor, but younger than Holmes.
Yeah. Well, and some people just age better. And I, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I liked the idea that, you know, Watson was still looking after his old friend, even though they weren't friends anymore. You know, that they were. Oh, well. It doesn't really change the movie. It just changes that one part for me. The way that they passed through the three different time periods was deft. Like, it really worked well. The way that Holmes's perspective could shift from one to the next.
Yeah.
Worked really. I never got lost. It wasn't like at any point going, now, which time frame is this? You know, it wasn't like I was watching a Transformers fight, fight scene.
Yeah.
Now, which is that one? No.
I mean, and even in the shift between, quote, present and the most recent flashback, which would have been like a month ago, because mm-hmm. the movie starts when he just got back. I would say that that McKellen's portrayal of Holmes in Japan is hopeful because he's on the verge of finding something that could help him. But as the present moves forward in the film, that hope diminishes and it is very clear that, okay, I'm watching this. And this was prior to mm-hmm. the realization that things are not going to work.
And it just works. It was a well put together movie. It just, at the end of it, I'm like, I don't know that I need to experience this story again. It was a good story. It was told really well, but it's kind of like The Last of Us, the video game The Last of mm-hmm. Us. At the end of it, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I played that, and I'm never going to play it again. I don't care how many times Sony tries to re-release it and tell me that I should play it again. It wasn't that good a story.
Yeah.
You know, it was good. And the sound, oh my God, the sound was so good. I plugged in the subwoofer for it and kind of... So when the trains go by and the steam trains and the scene in the tunnel that's really hard to watch gets absurdly loud and it works. Like everything ties together. The kind of steady buzzing noise that happens through like four of the five channels when they're working with the bees.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The sound was really, really good.
I mean, overall, a lot of care was put into this movie in basically every aspect.
Yeah. I mean, color was good, sound was good, acting's phenomenal, story was tight. I don't think there was a wasted scene in it. I mean, it's an hour and 44 minutes long. Now, I will say, because we are accustomed to the Marvel-style quick-cut, you know, action-packed movies, this is a 90-something-year-old dude. It is not a fast movie.
No, it's not.
And even when we're showing the scenes of 30 years ago when he's in his 60s, you know, it is not a fast movie.
No.
You know?
It is.
And
it is
there,
certainly. There it, was, it is not. Go ahead.
There was definitely a point about an hour in where I was like, how much more of this is there? Because, like, my internal clock was saying, well, we've had this many story beats. It should be, you know, at this point, I'm like, oh, I've got another 44 minutes to go. Okay.
Yeah. It is a slower movie than, quote, you know, the Marvel superhero movies.
Right.
But it's a faster-paced movie than an older film like The Maltese Falcon or something that just...
Oh, yes.
...is a very slow burn.
Yes. They did a good job of balancing it. And, again, it is a very good movie. And it's one you have to watch because there's enough... I mean, if you don't, you will be in the same position as Holmes with kind of this short-term memory issues. You mm-hmm. miss details. You miss things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, go see it. You can see it on Amazon Prime. You find it on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it. Don't watch it a bunch. But, yeah, go watch it. It's a good movie.
I think in the, when did I say it came out? 2017?
2015.
2015. In the last 10 years, basically, I've seen it twice.
Yeah, probably shortly after it came out and
yeah,
this past week.
Shortly after it was released on home media and then this past week. But I don't regret either time, and I don't regret buying it to see it that first time. And probably in another 5-10 years, I'm like, I want to watch this again. So, that's a see it from you. That's a see it from me. I believe it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what we got on the shelves.
Hello, Meat Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.